Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using the promo code WBZMass and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.
B-Pod Studios.
Left out.
You know the hot take.
Dude, stupid all-star
game. He still made those plays.
They now have shown they can win.
Everything Boston sports. 98.5, the Sports Hub. No one says it like they do.
What do you mean?
Well, what do you mean?
Felger and Mads.
I'm just making it up. Totally making it up.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
7-0, buddy.
Good night for the Patriots offense with 33 points overall. The offense accounting for 31 of them as the Pats will improve to 7-0 for the third time under Bill Belichick. They did it in 07, of course. They did it in 2015. And as Stidham takes the knee one last time in the final 28 seconds elapsed in the Meadowlands, the Patriots have swept the Jets for the 11th time under Bill Belichick in his 20 years as the New England head coach.
And we discuss here on a Big Boy Tuesday, Greg Bedard, Boston Sports Journal, in our Town Fair Tire Studios alongside Maz and Murray. Fellas, where do you want to start? Maz, where do you want to start with this one?
Oh, God, please. What an absolute freaking stink bomb by the Jets. What an absolute freaking stink bomb. And let me just say, the Patriots forced them into a lot of those mistakes. That was a complete and utter ass kicking. It's embarrassing what the Jets put out there last night. They were completely outclassed at coach, at quarterback, in every facet of the game. I don't think it's out of bounds to start talking about the undefeated season. Not that that's a new topic. But the Patriots defense is off the charts. I seriously question whether anyone's going to beat them this year. I do. I question that. I think they're that good. And on the Jets, let me get to the money. Okay, let me get to the money. I'm asking purely as a matter of procedure. What are the rules on an annulment?
There are no rules on the books.
What do you mean annulment?
I'm wondering about a take annulment. In other words, if you have a take on a team and you want to take it back, but the take is relatively fresh. Is it like a marriage and you can get it annulled and it never existed?
Meaning, I see what you mean.
Because, for example, I told you that I think the Jets were going to make a run at the playoffs. Okay? I didn't think that they were necessarily going to get in. They were going to make a run.
Yeah.
I would like to take that back. I would like an annulment.
And I would say you can't have that. You have a blowing coming your way over the next 4 hours, and it's going to be very much deserved.
You mean like 4 weeks?
The statute of limitations is like 3 years. No,
well, it was 2 or 3 years. You know, I thought it should be 3 years.
But is there some sort of stopgap where you can immediately annul? I mean, that's a fair question.
I mean, within a week. So I think I should be allowed to take it back.
What are the rules on a marriage annulment? Like, you know,
I think you have a year to get it annulled, don't
without
you?
Having to go through like a full divorce kind of thing?
I think so.
I got divorced a year and 2 days.
You just missed it.
It wasn't no annulment. That was a divorce. Maybe I missed it by me. I should have been 4 days late. I should have gone 2 days before. So you're like, there's an annulment situation when it comes to marriage that we can stop short of the full divorce, and it's just sort of like a whoops, let me have that one back.
Yeah, look, I mean, we've been on the air 10 years, and that's a long period of time, but nonetheless, you still encounter things that you've never encountered before. And so I'm telling you that we've never really encountered the annulment of a take. And I think that I need to look into whether this take can be annulled. Okay. I think it should be able to be erased from the record.
We're going to look into that. We're going to walk down we have a take development office down the hall. They should be able to handle this as well.
Maz, you're crushing me a little bit. I mean, I watched last night's game thinking, oh my God, I can't believe they're doing this to a playoff team. That's what Maz said. I was so impressed. But now you're crushing my dreams.
But, Dar, do you start with the Patriots or do you start with the Jets in this one?
I start with the Patriots. I mean, my biggest takeaway is that I saw some baby steps from the offense that I was encouraged about, including, number one, it was nice to see two mature, healthy tight ends that make it through a game that can actually block on the edge or line up at fullback and block up the middle. That was refreshing. I thought Josh McDaniels did a nice job, because the Patriots had become so confined on offense too, because they couldn't do anything on the edges, because Marshall Newhouse and Marcus Cannon and Ryan Izzo couldn't hold up anybody on the edge, that they basically had to run the ball or do anything within like a 4-yard box in the middle of the field. And that means that the opposing defense can center on that, and the Patriots are limited in what they can do offensively. So I liked how Josh McDaniels mixed in the jet sweeps and fake jet sweeps and things like that to give the offense width to sort of open things up a little bit more. And I thought it was also refreshing just the opening drive. And look, it was far from perfect, because I think they went on their last 9 possessions. I think 8 of them resulted in a punt or an interception. But I thought the opening drive, where 6 different guys touched the ball, Jacoby Myers is catching big passes on third down, Ben Watson is catching, you know, big third and fourth down catches, they actually looked like an NFL offense in spurts for a change.
Okay, no question. That was a big step in the right direction, particularly that first drive. I mean, that was a big step in the right direction.
Yeah, I mean, if Brady just opens up a little bit, meaning opens himself up,
yep,
and trusts in some of the other guys, and Jacoby Myers can be a fully functional possession guy in this offense, just their kind of guy. Should be just his kind of guy, Brady's guy. Recognizes man zone, recognizes it on the very first drive. Third down, red zone, you can rely on him. I think he's 7 for his last 7 targets, 9 for his last 9 targets, something like that.
Yeah, 9 catches last 2 games.
Okay, yeah, on 9 targets, I think, Murray.
Yeah, 9 for 9 is right.
And I think the ones that have dropped incomplete, he drew a flag on. So it's like, you got crowbar Brady into trusting the kid, but I don't know, how about just trusting the kid? I don't even know if they need Mohamed Sanu, although he should help. We'll get to that in a second. Do you have a takeaway, Murray? You want to start?
Yeah, I mean, it's about that Patriots defense. I mean, I don't know how you can look at it and still try to, you know, look at who they're playing week to week. And they're like, oh, well, wait till they face a real quarterback. No, I mean, they just come in waves time and time again. And that's been the one thing. They're so deep. They're taking 4 or 5 guys off the field and switching it up basically every other play. And they're deep at every level. They are legit. I don't think that they have to face the Eagles or Baltimore in a few weeks to, you know, that's going to be the test. I think they're going to be able to do this to just about anybody. And no, Maz, you don't get to have a take and omen, because I had to deal with the blowback from this crap all night within that first score. Maz thinks this is a playoff team. Maz said about the Jets. Does Maz I'm not Maz. At Maz on Twitter.
Who did
call
you
call Maz today?
Well, get off of Twitter, Murray. That's not my fault.
No, that's part of the deal here. I'm on Twitter. You're on Twitter. You should have to deal with this. So I have to deal with the blowback. You aren't getting annulled.
I'm applying for an annulment.
I'm with you on the offense, too. It was nice to actually see real tight ends. You know, the first one clanged off Ben Watson's face. And I was like, oh,
awesome.
Jesus,
yeah,
what are we doing?
I was like, oh, here we go.
But then there was one on the third down on the slant. It's like, oh, I remember a play like this from a tight end. So they're utilizing that position, finally, for the first time this year, because they have, you know, someone that actually knows how to play it. And the Myers thing, like, the kid's legit. Just look his way. Throw the ball. He's going to get it.
I mean, all of it. All of it. He runs the routes. He comes back to the ball. He's sure-handed. Feels like he can recognize the defense. You know, he sat down. I think it was on that first drive. He recognized zone and sat right there in the middle of it. And
2 guys right around him. Yeah.
And Brady gunned the ball in there.
I just think that's like a perfect sort of Patriot possession play. He's just what you need. So quit crying about your veteran guys, and now you got your veteran guy on top of it. So should be all good. I don't have any more belly aching. The thing about the Jets, and just, you know, to me, that what stands out is just the gap. And I start with the coach. You know, I put Sam Darnold's performance on Adam Gase. And I just felt it early. I watched a lot of the Jets week 1 game against Buffalo that they blew in the second half. And I came out of that game, I said, they being the Jets, have the wrong coach. I could feel it right there. And every time I watch Adam Gase, Sam Darnold's performance is a reflection on the coach. The kid didn't have a chance. I mean, he was horrible. Make no mistake. But on just about every interception, there was a free rusher coming at him. Sometimes he tried to set the line. Either the line didn't hear him or he had the wrong step. Either way, they weren't prepared. That quarterback operation against the blitz is really him and the coach.
Yeah, they weren't ready.
Him and his offensive coordinator. And that's what that's all about. That's all coaching. And the kid, Darnold, was put in just a horrid position last night. Ridiculous. And that starts with the coach. And Bedard, I know you and the football guys love Adam Gase. I never really knew why. and they just have the wrong guy. And it's just good news for the Patriots because there's going to be – it's going to set the Jets back now, and here's why, because they're not going to fire him after this year. Even if, you know, they straighten out a little bit, go 4-12, 5-11, whatever, Case will be able to say, well, I didn't have my quarterback to start the year. You put us behind the eight ball, you know, and the dingbat moron Johnson and his family, you say, okay, give him another year. Here comes another 5-11 because Gase just isn't good enough. And now you're 2 years behind where you should be. And in the meantime, maybe Darnold's gotten the bag beaten out of him and you've ruined him. And I think the whole thing is on the verge of never coming to fruition in New York, even if they do have the quarterback, even if they do, because they got the wrong coach and he's going to ruin them. And he ruined them last night. That's my thought on the game.
I mean, that thing was bad. That was bad.
Have they never seen a blitz before?
Wow.
I mean, I don't disagree. I disagreed with Gase being hired in the first place by the Jets. I thought, look, yes, I was high on Adam Gase as an offensive mind game planner. You heard Belichick talk about him this week. But as a head coach, I thought he proved in Miami he's not a head coach. He's put him as a he's a coordinator, like Rex Ryan is a defensive coordinator.
Oh my God, that was wretched.
You know, that being said, I wouldn't go overboard on Darnold and or the Jets' entire operation because, look, every quarterback has these type of games. You have games like this. I mean, Tom Brady had a game where he had a 22.5 rating. He had 6-4 interception games. Dan Marino had 2-5 interception games, 2-4 interception games. Peyton Manning had a 0.0 rating in a game.
So, Greg.
I mean, this is, yes, it was horrendous. It was Monday night. It's the Jets, all that stuff. But, like, you know, I wouldn't go killing anybody after one game against one of the best defenses in league history.
Gase is the wrong guy.
I agree. I mean, as a head coach, absolutely.
It's the wrong guy. It's the wrong guy, and the sooner they figure it out, the better. But if they give him another year, it's going to send him back a whole nother year. Now a new guy comes in, new offense, new playbook, quarterback's head is spinning. That franchise could be absolutely porked, even if they have a quarterback who can play.
So, Greg, you're giving me the numbers there on those quarterbacks.
Like, and Peyton Manning had a 6-interception game, by the way.
Okay, and so I don't dispute that they all had bad games. That thing last night, that was a clown show.
Yeah, I mean, I just don't understand from Gase to further your point, Mike. Like, you know that what the Patriots do, scheming things up, and they're gonna show zero blitz, and they're gonna drop four guys into coverage and only rush three, and they're gonna do things like that. And their offensive, no one's talking about their offensive line. Their offensive line blows.
Oh, the Jets,
terrible. They have no talent on that line. I mean, Khalil, the center, that guy came out of retirement and look like he hasn't played in like 5 years. He is awful.
Okay.
Now.
However.
But how do you not come into that game and say, look, let's keep two tight ends. Let's do max protect. Let's, you know, play action, boot, you know, really conservative stuff. Instead you put Darnold in that position and all of a sudden he's back foot Darnold, thrown off his back foot on every single pass. And you're doing, like you said, further damage to this kid that, you know, you wonder if he's going to recover from.
No chance. The kid had no chance, and he certainly, you know, lived down to it. But that it's the gap to, you know, last night was the gap between Belichick and everyone else is where I go to, seriously. And that's what that was about. Okay, Mohamed Sanu to the Patriots. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about the game last night with your calls and the big boy, Greg Bedard, right after this.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hey,
enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using the promo code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, and all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline MA.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
I hate jokes. We're not taking jokes.
That joke blew.
It's Felger and Mass. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
England with two down linemen.
Oh, get him.
And here comes Collins on a blitz. Darnold quickly unloads, and he throws an interception right into the hands of Devin McCourty.
They said it in pregame. We're going to get him. They heard the comments this week. You're going to try and find a weakness and exploit it. Well, they baited you in the blitz to your right side. That's your front side. You've got to be able to read that.
Darnold, it takes the snap. Drops back with a twist up front. Throws off the back foot of the end zone. Picked off by Daron Harmon. Harmon lands across the goal line.
They got this kid scared.
Boom.
He's looking where he thinks blitzes are, and they're not. They're backing out. Start our buses. Can we go home now?
Seeing ghosts.
Snaps it back to Darnold. He takes it. There's a blitz coming. He's hit. He floats one. Boom. The middle. Intercepted by Gilmore.
Nice throw off the back foot again.
Shotgun snap to Darnold. Backs up. Hands in the pocket. Throws off the back foot of the end zone. Intercepted. Leaping in front of the intended receiver, the former Jet Terrence Brooks. Another back foot throw. Picked off by the Patriots.
Attaboy, Sammy D. Off the back foot all day. Knock, knock. Guess who's here? The boogeyman cometh.
Boom. Seeing ghosts.
Good job, Jimmy Stewart. The this take, believe it or not, I'm stealing from Nick Cattles.
Oh, boy.
What?
Something that's never been said. I don't know if anyone's ever said that. Nick Cattles said something interesting to me last night.
Is it about Gunner talk?
Do tell. No, it was words that have never been spoken.
Love Nicky.
But it's true. He was on my internet thing last night during the fourth quarter. So he gave me the idea, but he's so right. Why was Sam Darnold mic'd in the first place? What are you doing putting the mic on your 22-year-old rookie, for all intents and purposes, you know, first-year, second-year quarterback on Monday Night Football against the best defense in the league? What are you doing? What are you doing?
Good question.
What are you thinking?
The Jets must have been feeling themselves up to the Cowboys game and really thought they had a chance to win this game.
But look, I mean, before you even got to the game, just think of that. Think of that judgment. That here's a good idea. Our young quarterback who just had a good game, but this is only his 14th, 15th, 16th NFL game. He's essentially a rookie, first, second year kid, 22 years old. On Monday, let's mic him. You idiots.
Isn't that just like the microcosm of the New York Jets, though?
Isn't it? But it just shows you the judgment of that franchise. What are you doing? If the NFL makes you mic somebody, you mic your special teams captain or, I don't know,
C.J. Mosley,
Jamal Adams or someone like that who has a chance to make a player who's been in the league and has a clue. Your rookie quarterback who doesn't know his ass from his elbow and obviously can't diagnose a blitz yet. Never mind, have all that on his shoulders, but let's mic him. Oh, you idiots.
Yeah, big mistake. It's a good point.
Adam Gase, all you need to know, not the guy. Not the guy, and he's going to set that team back, not this year, but it's going to be next year, and then the whole reset when the new coach comes in. He's going to set that team back years, and the decision to have him as a coach is going to set that team back years, and by the time they finally straighten it out, if they ever do, God help you to see what Sam Darnold looks like. If his head already isn't ripped off and he isn't ruined, because he's, you know, two seasons in, and he's already seen ghosts, and now that's on tape. They set that kid up for that situation. You know, what are you doing putting your young quarterback in the spotlight like that? What if he gets his ass kicked and he says something he regrets? Oh, wouldn't you know it? He got his ass kicked and he said something that now is going to be held against him. You clowns. So there's that. Courtesy Nick Cattles. Believe it or not. So here, to your phones, as promised, Sean and Marble. You can lead us off today. Go ahead, Sean.
Hey, guys. First, on Maz's take, there's no annulments, and it could be so bad. Maz, if the Jets don't win more than four games, You should be forced to wear a Sam Darnold jersey for a whole
year. Yes.
There has to be some sort of take jail.
I think in an Almonds in play, Sean. I think you're wrong.
Some sort of take conviction.
Oh, no, no,
a
no.
Darnold jersey and a redhead wig.
No, because when
Felger no, this is the equivalent of getting this is the equivalent of getting absolutely plastered in Vegas and marrying someone who's like a transvestite.
You weren't drunk. You were perfectly coherent.
It was a mistake, Sam. About Sean, it was a mistake.
You weren't drunk, man.
On the game, so I watched an analysis of the McCourty interception and the Van Noy fumble, and the Pats were bringing one more guy than the Jets were blocking, and the coaching was so bad that Darnold threw the ball. No receiver was looking. The only person watching Darnold throw the ball was Devin McCourty.
But then, it's true.
But then on a different play, on the fumble, there were four guys blocking two defensive linemen, a tackle blocking a linebacker that dropped back to pass cover, and Van Noy just walked in. It was crazy. And this is like, I know Darnold should recognize it and there should be a heart rate, but that comes down to coaching.
It's coaching and preparation. It's coaching and preparation. It's not just on the kid in the moment. It's how they prepared for the whole thing.
Orlovsky was going over this stuff on Get Up this morning. I think those are the plays he's talking about. He's so right. It was unbelievable on that first pick. Neither receiver was looking. McCourty had the thing lined up.
And is Gase going to have a hot route ready for the guy?
Oh,
like,
my God.
Did you see one guy try and break open underneath or a little quick slant or something, a screen or a draw or something?
I'll tell you, statistically, I've seen worse games by a quarterback. I've seen it. And again, I say quarterback by an offense, okay, because I'm including the coach because he was a huge part of it. But in terms of the actual eye test, I don't know that I've ever seen anything worse than last night. I mean, he looked like his hair was on fire and he was throwing the ball like, I got to get this out of here. It was unbelievable.
George in the car has a thought for us. Hi, George.
Hey, guys. So Ben Volen tweeted something like a short while ago, under an hour ago, about how the Patriots aren't going to keep seven receivers on the team. And I wanted to ask you guys what you guys thought, if that's inside reporting or is that just an assumption?
So they're not going to keep seven, meaning what, that N'Keal Harry stays on IR? I mean, they had four last night. So
the way he set it up, the permutation that Volen tweeted was that either Harry stays on IR or Olszewski or Josh Gordon would be the odd man out. But Olszewski unlikely because he returns punts.
Yeah, they're not going to carry seven on the roster. You don't do that. I mean, that makes sense. Do that. I just, in my head, they have seven with Sanu. If everyone's healthy, they have seven.
Yeah. How about Michael Bennett goes?
Well, are they still going to carry seven receivers, though? I mean, I can see Michael Bennett going. Don't get me wrong.
How about Gordon just going on IR?
But do you have seven receivers on a roster?
I don't know. I mean, why not? They only have like 53 players on defense. I think they could use an extra wide receiver for crying out
loud.
So
that's
considering
six.
No tight end. What, Ryan Izzo can be released and be put on the practice squad. I mean, now that they have adult tight ends.
Don't yell at me. I'm just saying.
They can't have seven wide receivers. Yeah. They only have 15 outside linebackers on this team.
Why does that make you so angry?
I mean, Landon Roberts can't even play on defense, so they have to put him on offense.
Why does that get your dander up?
Just because it does.
So you're aggravated. They have so much depth on defense, but not on offense. But teams don't carry seven receivers. You just don't do that, do you?
Yeah.
Five's the number.
You can. Yes,
Okay, you can. It wouldn't surprise me one bit if Josh Gordon doesn't make it through the year.
Yeah. And they don't have any tight. Remember, they don't have any fullbacks either now. So, you know, you get away with another specialty player.
Zoe today was talking about redshirt year for N'Keal Harry, and they're holding out hope for the fullback there, Devlin.
Well, they only have one more spot left. Wynn or Devlin, and from what I've been told, they are banking on Wynn.
So what do you mean only one? I thought they could bring two back.
No, they started the clock. They activated.
On Harry.
So they only have one spot left.
Right.
Yeah, so I don't think they're writing off Harry. My guess is that.
Right, exactly. Duh.
But Zoe
said that today, so just FYI.
Would you rule out putting Gordon on IR?
No, I wouldn't rule out that he fell off the wagon or that or something. I mean, he wasn't looking right before he went down. I'd rule out nothing with him.
Yeah, to me, Gordon on IR, I wouldn't bat an eye on that one. I don't think that's a huge loss. He hasn't been that good.
You know, and also you have to keep in mind that now with what they're going through on the IR front with injuries. So they started the clock on Harry. They only have one more spot. So now you're getting into a situation, you know, and I assume that Wynn is going to be the other guy. So now if, say, you do have a guy with a long-term injury like Gordon, even though I think he'll be back before you know it, now you have to carry them on the roster. So guys are going to start being cut or perhaps traded here before right. the trade deadline. So if say Josh Gordon misses a month, like it's either IR
or, done.
Or you hold him on the
roster. On the 53, right?
Yeah, I mean that'll start going on now with some of these more valuable positions.
Boy, if they started the clock on Harry and he's not ready to go, that's a whiff.
I think, what a mistake. I think he's ready to go. It's just a question of how much is he going to be able to do once he gets here.
Okay, so we got the big boy here in studio. He's got his clipboard out from last night. Still got to get his breakdown of the Mohamed Sanu trade, second-round pick for that big veteran receiver for Tommy Brady. So that's in the fold as well, but three up, three down, coming your way right after Murray's update.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Spring.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline, ma.org, or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
It's time for three up.
Dives to the end zone. Touchdown, Patriots.
Nice call.
And three down.
I don't even understand the call. You're trying to go vertical on third and four. I'd rather run him on a slant with his size.
With Greg Bedard of BostonSportsJournal.com. Three up.
And the Patriots have won their sixth Super Bowl title.
Three down.
He sucks.
He blows.
Here on Felger and Mez.
All right, three up, three down. Bedard has his chart and his clipboard that he was given to by Scott in Maine. The bastard's too cheap to spend the $239 himself at Staples. So
seriously.
The Scott in Maine clipboard endures. He's got all of his positive plays, negative plays. He's gone over the all 22. Maz will chime in as well. Three stars, three duds, three studs, three duds from last night. And then I want a thought on Sanu. Number one star, Bedard.
Terrence Brooks. He let... Quiet.
So you.
Quiet. He led the team in quarterback pressures with three. He had an interception, and Ryan Griffin, the tight end, had one catch on two targets for 1 yard. I'd say that's a good day at the office.
I like Brooks. I think I liked him in the preseason. That's as an aside. And this is a play, not playing by the rules per se, but my number one, Belichick. That thing last night, that was a freaking mismatch. The Patriots, here's what I forgot to factor into that game, the extra 3 or 4 days the Patriots had to prep. Boy, did that show up. Holy crap. And the defense, what the Patriots are doing defensively right now is sick. It is sick. They are airtight defensively. That is scary good.
Number two, Bedard.
Stephon Gilmore. He had the interception, didn't give up any receptions. I mean, he's just awesome. And for basically like half the game, Darnold didn't even look his way, which he should have kept doing, but
I thought he gave up one underneath to Anderson. I thought he gave up one.
It might have been zone. I might have had that for zone coverage.
Either way.
That's the point it's reached. He gave up one play. Yeah. You know, like you in any case. I went Brady. I thought Brady was terrific in this game when it mattered mostly. And it felt to me like last night for the first time, Brady started to accept the reality that they are a defense first team. It was a different kind of offensive approach. Simple throws, get the ball out fast, go down the field, run it in. Don't worry about the numbers, just get the W. And that's what it was.
Third star?
Brady. You know, to sort of piggyback on what Matt said, it seemed like during this 11-day break that at some point, whether it's Josh McDaniels or maybe Belichick, they sat down with Tom and been like, Tom, look, this is the deal. Like, you know, yes, we're not the most talented group, but you got to find a way to make it work. It's not going to change. So let's get with the program. And I had him for 11 plus plays and really only two negative plays, a couple pressures I gave him half credit on. But I mean, he was really good in this game throughout.
Balls out quick, a lot of sideways throws, a lot of game management. When he wanted to go deep or stretch it, he dropped it in the bucket to Philip Dorsett. Why is that so hard?
It's not. He was good last night.
I mean, I don't know what his numbers are.
His rating was like 80.
Who cares?
Yeah, he was good last night.
It was a winning performance. It's like, I don't know, feels like he's been reluctant to be that. And that's too bad because he's the greatest game manager in the history of professional sports. And I say that not as a knock. I love game managers, especially when you've got Belichick and that defense win the game. So they have enough, and now they have Sanu on top of it, which, again, we'll get to. Your third star.
Jacoby Myers with an honorable mention to Brandon Bolden.
I was going to say a second for Bolden. Can I just get a fourth star for Bolden?
Yes. I mean, again, I notice him. You know, and that catch he made, that was a great play.
Tremendous.
Like, he is really, I mean, I can't tell you how impressed I've been with Bolden the last couple of weeks. But Myers is a huge development, and that is a good thing for them. 5 for 5, 9 for 9 the last two games. That's a big thing.
Three down, number one down. Greg?
Marcus Cannon. I had him for 3 quarterback pressures. Plus, he had a tough time in the run game. Missed on the screen block. He's just, he's not moving as well as he used to, and he's become a problem there on the right side.
Has a guy with 3 touchdowns ever been the number one dud? Sony Michel.
Probably not.
So he is now. Sony Michel. So again, 3 touchdowns, great. He doesn't run hard enough at the goal line. I mean, it took him 3 cracks on there. Was it 4? I don't even remember on that one down there earlier.
How about the screen that he dropped?
Again, brutal. Oof. Brutal. So again, he had 3 touchdowns last night. Yay. Whoop-de-doo. But I don't know how you come out of that game feeling good about their ability to run the ball.
Number two there, Greg.
J.C. Jackson or Grabby McGrabberson over there. I mean, come on. Let's not tackle until somebody catches the ball. And also, you know, this has been building. His stats are good, completions and incompletions, whatever. But you know, in some of the other games, like the Dolphins game, he was in coverage. 2 guys let the ball go off their face. That happened again last week. Like, you know, he's having some issues out there, and it needs to be cleaned up.
Same. J.C. Jackson. I mean, probably the worst guy on defense last night.
Third dud.
I split it between Newhouse and Cannon. Mason. I couldn't split it between them. They all had a rough game with pressure, and especially the run. The pressure, pass blocking wasn't that bad. On the offensive line, the run blocking was horrendous. Like half the runs went for 1 yard or less, and Mason and Newhouse were part of the issue.
I'm nitpicking, but it was that kind of night. Jake Bailey, he had that one punt that was brutal.
Yeah, so brutal. Right out of bounds. That was the first shank I really noticed.
Oh, that was a horrible kick.
Yeah, it was like the 45.
Were you watching the last 2 minutes?
No, I was out by then.
He had one just inside of the 2 minute warning.
Yeah.
That, Maz, go back and watch it. Go back and watch it. It was a plus 50 punt, and he did one of those things where he dropped it straight down for the backspin. He dropped it on the half-yard line, and it sucked back about 9 yards. It was freaking nasty. It was garbage time. I don't blame you for not having watched it, but if you're watching late into the game, it was, I think, just inside the two-minute warning or right before the two-minute warning, and Bailey dropped this ball at the half-yard line with that backspin. Oh, my God, it was unbelievable.
I will absolutely take a peek. He's still one of my 3 down.
Thoughts on Mohamed Sanu?
Well, you know, he's a good solid player. I think they brought him in here because they need a veteran, capable, durable target. I mean, I think he's what they wanted? No. And in a vacuum,
what do you mean? Why wouldn't they want him?
Because I think they have those guys. They have Gordon, unless he goes on IR, which we haven't heard about yet. And they have N'Keal Harry. I mean, they're all sort of, you know, 6'3", 6'2", big guys. They have those guys. What they don't have in this offense is a speed element from anywhere. I mean, at least last season they had Patterson. The year before they had Brandon Cooks. You know, is it mandatory? No, but it helps. So I think Belichick, at the end of the day, they could only go so far as cap money. As far as, you know, guys being available, I think maybe they found some of the trade talks weren't going very far.
Let me
and I
ask
think
you,
Belichick.
Who'd you rather have, just in a vacuum, take out contract or payment, you know, or cost, Manny Sanders or Mohamed Sanu?
Manny.
Me too.
No question.
Yeah, me too.
Really? I mean, he's more versatile, can do a bunch of different things, and he's just better. I mean, look, Mohamed Sanu has been in a pass-happy offense since he's been in Atlanta, and I think he's never had more than 67 receptions. He's never hit 1,000 yards, and he's never had more than 5 touchdowns. I mean, he's good, but, you know, and he's going to help this team, but, you know, I wouldn't, you know, write home about it.
I like it.
I like him.
Here's what I don't like, what they paid for him. Okay, second round pick, way too high.
It is?
Way too high. This guy's a good player. Again, I'm going
to rather give a second for Mohamed Sanu than a first for Antonio Brown.
Okay, so again, like...
What does that even mean?
That might be true.
When did they give up a first for Antonio Brown?
They offered it. Pittsburgh turned it down.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to give up the first in general. I just think for the player... Too high.
It's a seller's market, though, Maz. Look where players are going.
Listen, I'm not telling you I wouldn't have made the deal, or I'm just telling you it's too high. They overpaid for him.
It's too high, and it's ridiculous when you know you're sending a second round pick for a guy you're going to get what,
a year and a half,
25 games out of, and what, you can't draft a guy in the second round that could do this.
Well, when's the last time Belichick's actually hit on a second round pick?
I mean,
5 years ago.
The price is too high. It's too high. And so, now again, I'm not saying I wouldn't have made the deal. I'm glad they made the deal. But if we're just judging the cost of it, they overpaid.
Right. In a vacuum, they overpaid. But, you know, they needed to do something. They needed just on the fact of, you know, they have, if Josh Gordon can't play anymore or Julian Edelman goes down, they are snaps away from Gunnar Olszewski playing major snaps on this team for a team that's going to win the Super Bowl. That's just not acceptable. So they had to go get somebody else just purely for depth reasons in case somebody gets hurt, because they have no depth on offense and they have all of it on defense, and they needed to give them one guy in case somebody can't make it.
I just think it's a big, tough, reliable receiver, feels like to me. And again, I don't have his games played in front of me. If he's not reliable, then forgive me. But I don't know. It just feels like a...
Oh, Mike, he's everything you like. He doesn't have that straight line speed that'll take the top off the defense, but he makes the tough catch in traffic.
And no nonsense. Like, yeah.
He plays every week.
He plays every week. So I've always just viewed him as a dependable guy that catches the ball, keeps his mouth shut, you know, pretty like a no nonsense receiver, which is, again, just my kind of guy. I'm into it. I'm into that. I'd rather have this guy 10 times out of 10 than Antonio freaking Brown. What are you doing with that nonsense? Or, you know, dabbling in Odell Beckham or some of those clowns. Like, a guy like this is your kind of guy.
Sure, again, he's a good fit. All that's true. I'm just telling you that this kind of player doesn't warrant a second-round pick. But that aside, okay, he's big, he's a possession guy, and I actually value that more, Greg, than the guy down the field for two reasons. One, it fits their offense better. And two, I don't know, can they protect to get the ball down the field anyway? I'm not sure they can.
I don't care about getting the ball down the field.
Like
stretch it sideways like you did last night. Scheme it. You know, have guys who are reliable who get open and catch the ball.
24 points with this defense is enough. Yeah,
but, it's all you've ever needed.
But let's just, you know, acknowledge the elephant in the room. I mean, the aims and the goals of this offense have completely changed because of this defense. I mean, they don't need to score a bunch of points. They are to, you know, Mohamed Sanu gets you to 24, a lot more consistently on offense than before him being here.
So it's two different things. Do you like the player? Do you like the move? Yes.
Yep.
You know, in context of what the going rate is it an overpay? And that's another thing. If that bothers you, I guess it bothers you. To me, it's another sign of it's an all-in kind of year. And we'll discuss coming up why that kind of might be. You know, why you're taking chances on guys like Antonio Brown and you're offering first round picks for all sorts of different things and now overpaying for this guy. You know, I think it's all sort of adding up to a certain kind of year, which we will get to, and your phones right after this.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150. Win or lose, bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline, ma.org, or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Something?
I don't know. Google it, Maz.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app.
That's idiotic.
Now back to Felger and Maz on Boston's home for sports.
Brady lobs a throw down the right side for Dorsett. Open. Touchdown. Patriots. What a beautiful throw by TB12.
Night-night. I could call plays from up here. Set him up. It's Dorsett time. A little double move. They got him in cover one. We just talked about it. And they're running circles around Greg Williams. It's like he's got a blindfold on calling this game. They are toying with him on Monday Night Football. This thing ain't even close. Great throw by Brady. It's a double move to the outside right. Far side right double move. Little sluggo. Slanko, 26-yard dagger.
All right, that was a beautiful ball by Brady right
Tremendous
there.
Tremendous pass.
Drop it in the bucket, as they like to say. That was tremendous. We're talking about the Mohamed Sanu trade. There is another trade that involves you that has just broken across the league. Here it is.
This is breaking sports news.
Powered by Valvoline Instant Oil Change.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
From Adam Schefter, NFL Insider, ESPN, another trade. Denver is dealing wide receiver Emmanuel Sanders in a 2020 fifth-round draft pick to the San Francisco 49ers in exchange for a 2020 third and fourth round pick per league sources. Much needed help for a quarterback who desperately needs it.
I think that was editorializing there. That was supposed to be a straight news read, but I feel like we just turned it to the editorial page.
Ooh. Reading from Adam Schefter.
I don't think that was in the original.
Good job sharing an opinion, Jim.
Ooh, what we have here is an arms race. That's what we have, a little arms race going on between the two undefeated teams in the league.
Would you rather give up a second for Mohamed Sanu or a third and fourth for Manny Sanders with a fifth coming back?
The third and fourth. Yeah, the third and fourth.
Yeah, the third and fourth.
So why don't we do that?
You got me.
Because Bill's track record of drafting is better in the third and fourth round than it is in the second round?
I think it's got more to do with the fact that Sanu is signed for another year and Sanders is not. And so the Patriots probably like that too, right? That's a huge variable. They're going to have a need at wide receiver no matter what.
Yep.
And the fact that he is a possession guy, that I think Sanu plays primarily on the inside, right? Bedard, you know that probably better than I do.
Manny Sanders is a better price. It's a better price.
Yeah, definitely.
Because you're getting a fifth. So you're just moving from the fourth to the fifth.
Right.
And with that one, San Francisco is going to be at the very bottom of the fourth, and Denver's going to be at the very top of the fifth. So maybe that's only going to be a drop of like 5-6, you know, inside of 10 slots there between the fourth and the fifth. So it's really a third for Manny Sanders. It's really how I would sort of read that. I mean, that's the crux of it.
Look, again, this to me just validates for me the Patriots paid a steep price for Sanu. And again, I'm not blaming them for it. I'm just telling you, judging it objectively, they paid a lot.
And why?
Because A, they have a need. B, this is potentially an all-time team, and I know where you're going, so I'll stop there.
Well, I just think this is, you know, who can predict the future? But if this is Brady's last year, we'll be able to look back and say, boy, every sign you wanted was there. I mean, it was all there for you. House on the market. Guerrero's house on the market. He moves to Connecticut. He signs a contract with automatically voided years. So for the first time ever, he's a free agent after the year. They go in for Antonio Brown, who I can't say that with enough crap in my mouth because he's such a, you know, odious figure and so not their kind of guy, but they do it. Why? Okay. And so they, you know, they sign him to a bad contract to boot. How often do they do that? And then they lose out on that. And then they don't just let that go. They double down and they overpay for Mohamed Sanu. And so if Brady's done after this year, whether it's here or for his career, you'll be able to look back and say, boy, it was all there right in front of you. All you had to do was just look. And so that's like, it's, I mean, all that is sort of building.
I mean, it does have that feel to it.
One thing on Sanu Sanders, you know, I still think it's possible that the I'm hoping that the Patriots overpaid a little bit with a draft pick to get the Falcons to pay him like a bonus, so they have to pay him less money. They if that happens, then I would up the compensation. The San Francisco 49ers had $18 million in cap space. They could afford Manny Sanders. The Patriots could only afford Manny Sanders if they've jumped through a bunch of different hoops
posh.
To extend.
You want to give me another cocktail napkin?
Felger.
Bedard.
It's real that the Patriots, look, the Patriots would have, they're going to have to do something.
Where are those napkins, Jimmy?
Go ahead. Move on.
I figured it out for you last time in one commercial break. You want me to do it another one?
Get it. I'm done.
He's defeated.
Here comes Jimmy with my cocktail napkins. Would you give me one, please? I'll figure it out for you. Thank you. Got it. Excellent.
So I told you how you could figure it out. I know how you figure it out. But Bill didn't want to do it. He didn't want to extend Devin McCourty. He didn't want to, you know, do something with Dante Hightower. He didn't want to do something with whoever. All right? And the San Francisco 49ers just had the cap space. They could do it. They didn't have to do any hoops. They didn't have to affect their cap in the future. All that stuff. You know, it's because they couldn't. The Patriots really just couldn't afford Manny Sanders. Plus, they're getting another year from Sanu. So, just relax.
Okay, is Manny Sanders totally healthy? Like, there's all sorts of variables. I'd rather have Manny Sanders too.
He's a $10 million player. Sanu's owed $3.4 million.
Do the Pats even have to do something in the short term to get Sanu on?
They're gonna have to do something. They don't. They
haven't officially announced it yet, have they?
No.
So maybe that's, you know, maybe there's a little, again, maybe Bill's in there with his, you know, he's just finished wiping his chin from lunch, and then he'll figure out the cap in 30 seconds, and they'll announce his signing.
That's correct. But the point is, Felger, these are things that the Patriots never ever used to do. They didn't have to do it.
Okay, so
because they were disciplined. They were free to do whatever move they wanted. If they wanted to move to get Manny Sanders at the trade deadline, they could do it without jumping through any hoops. Now they have to.
So add this to my list. This is a little, this year is out of character for them in a couple different ways.
Absolutely.
It's been 2 years now.
It feels like an all-in kind of year.
It does.
Okay. And again, if that means if Brady is done, you'll be able to look back and say, boy, you could see that coming.
No question. I mean, again, like when you really weigh it out, not to mention the most significant of which is that they've taken a lot of the pressure off him. That defense is unbelievable.
See, I don't think that's by design. I just think that's the way it happened. I agree.
I think it just happened.
They drafted to accumulate
these guys.
Right, their last three first-round picks, running back, left tackle, receiver. And then they've gone after how many different receivers in the last year? From Antonio Brown to Beasley to Humphreys, now Sanu. Like, they've been trying on offense. They've just been whiffing. I think it's just the way it's gone. They've missed on their offensive picks, and I'm not just talking draft. They've missed on their offensive moves and hit on their defensive moves, and this is just what they've ended up with.
Yeah, I think Bill safeguarded it. That's what I think. I think that there was an opportunity for them to free up money by restructuring a couple guys. They opted not to do it, and they just kept all their guys on D. They kept them all.
Well, that's true, too. That's fair. Okay, I promise, your calls after Murray's 90-second update, couple breaking news items in the NFL, updated right here. No commercials, and then I promise, right here.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline MA.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Hey everyone, it's Felger here for Cambridge Savings Bank, my official bank. Listen, small businesses are so important to our communities. That's why I'm excited to share CSB's new business hub with articles, tools, and resources to help you start, manage, and grow your small business. You still have questions? Just fill out the contact form on the site to get in touch directly with the small business team. Check it out at cambridgesavings.com/hub. That's H-U-B. Member FDIC.